Tonight's shir is in the schus for a refuah shleima for Hagon Harab David ben Shima, Rabbi David Feinstein, son of the Posek Hador, Rav Moshe Feinstein. He's in need of a refuah shleima, and in the schus of our learning tonight, that should be in his schus. The Torah tells us in Parshas Matos, "Umiknei Rav Haya l'bnei Ruvain u'bnei Gad atzum ma'od," that the children of Ruvain and the children of Gad had much livestock. It was very great, and they saw that Eretz Gilad and Eretz Yazer had plenty of space. There was space for the sheep and the cattle to roam. Vayavo b'nei Gad u'b'nei Ruvain vayomru el Moshe. They came to b'nei Gad u'b'nei Ruvain, came to Moshe, vayomru el Moshe. They said to Moshe, imatzanu chen be'inecha yutan es ha'aretz hazos la'avodecha la'achuza. Let us inherit this land on the opposite side of the Jordan. Let this be a place for our sheep, our cattle. You obviously know that we have much sheep and much cattle. It'll be perfect for them to be able to run around. And obviously we knew Moshe Rabbeinu's response. He was incredulous, and he says, "Vayomer Moshe l'bnei Gad u'bnei Ruvain, ha'achichem yavo l'melchama. Your brothers are going to go out to battle, v'atem teshvu po, and you're going to stay here." Very difficult to digest their request. Moshe Rabbeinu had a difficult time understanding how it was possible that Bnei Gad u'Bnei Ruvain saw this land, saw this territory, and they would rather stay back to ensure that their cattle had place to roam, as opposed to being with their brothers and sisters in battle. So that's the explanation as to why they wanted to stay. But if you look in Parshas Vezos HaBracha, when Moshe Rabbeinu was giving the brachos, blessings like Yaakov before he was about to die, to all the tribes, the Torah tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu had said about God, Vayar Reshislo, he saw the beginning for himself, Kisham Chelkas Mechokech Tzafun, for there is the hidden plot of the lawgiver. And Rashi explains, what does that mean, Vayar Reshislo? He saw the beginning for himself. Ra'a Lito Lo Chelek, he saw fit to take a portion for himself, Be'eretz Sichon Va'og, in the land of Sichon and Og, Shehi Reishis Kibush Ha'aretz, which is the beginning of the conquest of the land of Israel. But it was on the opposite side of the Jordan. Kisham Chelkas, for there is the hidden plot, says Rashi, Ki Yoda, for he knew, Asher Sham B'Nachaloso, that there in his inheritance would be Chelkas Sedei Kivuras Mechokek, for there would be the plot of the burial site of the Mechokek, the lawgiver. Rashi explains, who is that lawgiver? Who's the Mechokek? It's none other, Vehu Moshe, it was Moshe. And it was Safun. Rashi explains, Osa Chelka Safuna Tamuna. That plot is hidden and concealed, Mikol Beria, from any creature. As it says, "V'lo yoda ish es kivuraso," that no one knows Moshe Rabbeinu's burial place. But nonetheless, what Rashi is telling us is that the reason why that God wanted to stay on the opposite side of the Jordan is because he saw that Moshe Rabbeinu was going to be buried in that area. They knew that Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't crossing to Eretz Yisrael. They had a prophetic vision. that the great Moshe Rabbeinu would be buried in this area, and therefore they had requested to be able to acquire, to inherit this area of land. Asks the Mefarshim, this is a contradiction. On one hand, it seems that the reason why, and the psukim are very clear in our parsha, Parsha's Matos, the reason why that they wanted to inherit the land is because it was expansive in space. It had plenty of room for their makom mikneh, for their cattle to graze. It was an opportunity for their cattle, their sheep to roam. And they come to Moshe Rabbeinu and they said, Moshe Rabbeinu, we don't want to pass because this would be a perfect place for our mikneh, Rav, for our many cattle to have a place to play and to stay and to graze and to wander. That's in our parsha. But in Parshas Vizos HaBracha and Sefer Dvarim, Moshe Rabbeinu himself is suggesting that God had wanted to stay Ever LeYarden, on the opposite side of the Jordan. It's because they saw, they knew that Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't coming into Eretz Yisrael. This would be the place that he'll be buried, and they want to have that portion. Well, which one is it? What's the reason? Is it because it was expansive land, and their sheep and their cattle could graze and wander? Or was it a little bit more noble because they wanted to have their inheritance, their nachla, their achuza, to be in the place where Moshe Rabbeinu, the greatest of all people, would be buried? That's question number one. Question number two is, in the beginning of this week's parsha, the Torah teaches us about nedarim, about vows. The Torah tells us, Ki yidor neder la Hashem. If a man will take a vow to Hashem, or he makes an oath, Lo yachel divaro, he shall not desecrate his word, Kichol hayotze mipiv, that anything that leaves his mouth, Yaseh, he shall do. This is something very fundamental, very elementary. We teach our children from a very young age, keep your word. Don't lie. Don't fib. Your word defines you. This is something that is incumbent upon every single person in Klal Yisrael, that if he says something, he should keep it. This is something that all of Klal Yisrael is supposed to be instructed about. It's something that is a very serious thing. We have to commit to emes, because we all know that the chasima, the seal, the sign of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is emes, and therefore lo yachel divaro. And if that's the case, then why is it that this week's parsha, unlike all the other parshios that typically begin Vaidaber Hashem el Moshe and then Daber el Bnei Yisrael, God speaks to Moshe and then Moshe comes and speaks to Bnei Yisrael, this parsha says Vaidaber Moshe el Rashei Hamatos, that Moshe spoke to the heads of the Matos of Bnei Yisrael, the tribal leaders. Why only the tribal leaders? The tribal leaders, they're the only ones that are expected to hear the words of Lo Yachel Divaro, that one shall not desecrate that which comes out of his mouth. This is something which is important for all of us to hear. Why is Moshe Rabbeinu singling out the Rashi Hamatos more so than all of Bnei Yisrael, in lieu of the fact that in all of the entire Torah mitzvos, Vaidaber Hashem el Moshe, Daber el Bnei Yisrael, speak to Bnei Yisrael? Why is it that in this parsha, in this mitzvah, in this losaseh, we're singling out the Rashi Hamatos, the tribal leader of Bnei Yisrael? And the last question. Is the Torah tells us in the aftermath of the Midyanim coming and placing a stumbling block before us. It was the Midyanim that had come and had caused 24,000 members of Bnei Yisrael to perish. Midyan was a thorn in our side. They understood that Klal Yisrael is inherently an Am Kadosh. And they saw that the way to attack our kryptonite, the way to destroy, to defeat us, to pulverize us, to marginalize us, was to take away our Kedusha. And Baruch Hashem, Pinchas was steadfast, and he acted and he avenged the honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But now on a global level, not only to kill the source, but to destroy the entire Midyan, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to Moshe saying, Nikom Nikmas Bnei Yisrael, come and take vengeance on behalf of Bnei Yisrael against the Midyanim. Achar te'asef el amecha, afterward, then you will die. Vayidaber Moshe el ha'am, and Moshe comes to the nation, to Bnei Yisrael, Lemor saying, Hechalatzu me'itchem anashim la'tzava, arm men from among yourselves. V'yu al midyon laseis nikmas Hashem b'midyon. Arm men that they may be against Midyan to inflict Hashem's vengeance against Midyan. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he's coming and giving the directive of God, he's not coming and articulating God's message. Because God's message was, Nikom Nikmas Bnei Yisrael, avenge the honor of Bnei Yisrael and attack the Midianites. But Moshe Rabbeinu, taking the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he doesn't say, avenge the honor of Bnei Yisrael, but he says, avenge the honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why is Moshe Rabbeinu deviating from what HaKadosh Baruch Hu had said? What made Moshe Rabbeinu so real and the greatest of all leaders was that he came and articulated exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said. He never deviated. But here he's deviating. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Nikom Nikmas Bnei Yisrael. And Moshe Rabbeinu, in coming and explaining the directive, the charge to Bnei Yisrael, he comes and he says, Nikmas Hashem B'midyan. So Rashi comes and explains that we obviously see that the honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the honor of Bnei Yisrael are intertwined. It's all one. However, Reb Aaron Leib Steinman offers a different possibility, and I want to share with you his idea. He says, "Debeemes nikama ze davar sheyachol ligrom hashchasas hamidos." That in truth, nikama, revenge, can destroy a person's midos. If you look at the Sefer HaChinuch writes, based upon the Lo Sa'aseh, the prohibitive act of exacting revenge. He says, the shorish of this mitzvah, the root of this mitzvah, is sheyeda ha'adam, that a man must know, v'yitein alibo, ki kol ashir yikra'eu mitovat ra, that anything that happens to a person, whether good or bad, hu siba shetovo olav me'ez Hashem yizbarach, it all comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And anything that a person comes and does against another person, ultimately it's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu willed it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed it to happen. HaKadosh Baruch Hu determined that this needs to happen to the victim. And therefore, any suffering or any pain, a person has to know that it isn't the perpetrator. He didn't do anything. But rather, it was avonosov, it was a person, the victim's sins, which caused the perpetrator, the mazik, to come and act against the nizak. V'Hashem yisbarach gozer olav bekach, and ultimately this was decreed from the Almighty. For a person to take nekama, to take revenge, essentially It's denying HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hashkacha in the world. When a person takes revenge against a person, he's being mashchis his midos. He's ruining his midos. He's taking away from his opportunity to develop his emuna and his bitachon, his character. Ula Moshe, however, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Reb Aaron Leib Shteiman in his Sefer Ayelas HaShachar, Moshe Rabbeinu, Shahaya Mushlam Bimidosa, Moshe that was a perfect person. He was perfect in his midos, in his character. It was stellar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Amar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, Sheyinkom es nikmas b'nei Yisrael, to avenge the honor of Klal Yisrael. But when Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to the people, he didn't want to say that this battle, that this war, is to avenge and to take revenge on your honor. Because Klal Yisrael wouldn't be able to distinguish between this nekama, between this revenge, and another type of revenge. When Reuven comes and does something and acts against Shimon, he came and he didn't treat him fairly. And now Shimon's going to come a day later and he's going to take revenge. And Reuven's going to say, why do you take revenge? It's against the Torah. Shimon's going to say, what do you mean? We took revenge against Midian. Nikom nikmas b'nei Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu was concerned that Klal Yisrael wasn't on the level to be able to distinguish, to discern between Nikmas Midyan and Nikmas Yerchaver that lives right next door to you. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to Moshe, who is an Adam Shalim. He's perfect, stellar midos. His character is pristine. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, who's able to distinguish, who's able to be mechalik, to differentiate between nikmas my chaveru, to take revenge against my friend, and nikmas midyan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, it's nikmas b'nei Yisrael. But Moshe Rabbeinu, the consummate leader, he understood that the people aren't able to distinguish. And therefore he said, it's not your revenge. We're avenging the honor of God. Moshe Rabbeinu understood. Moshe Rabbeinu was a leader that never acted for himself. He acted in the best interest of Klal Yisrael. Everything that Moshe Rabbeinu had done in his life was just to raise the spiritual level of Am Yisrael, never concerned or considerate for his own well-being. And we know that to be true, because the Torah itself says, Nikom nikmas b'nei Yisrael me'ez ha-midyanim, and then after you do this battle, after you wage war, then you're going to die. And Chazal teach us that this battle of Midyan and his death, they were forever linked. That once he fought the battle, waged the war, then he was going to die. So you would think that he would take his time. You would think that he would relax. He wouldn't immediately go to B'nai Yisrael and arm the people. But it was never about Moshe Rabbeinu. It was always about the honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was always about ensuring that every member of Klal Yisrael would be able to have that dveikus, that connection, that relationship with the Almighty. That was Moshe Rabbeinu. That can't be said about all the tribal leaders. And that is how we understand the contradiction, or at least the assumed contradiction, between in one place in our parsha, the explanation as to why Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven wanted to be Aver LeYarden was because they had many cattle and sheep, and they wanted a place to plant themselves to ensure that they were able to take their cattle and sheep and feed them and ensure that they have what they need, versus in Dvarim it seems to be because they wanted to be in the area where Moshe Rabbeinu was buried. Says Rabbi Eli Baruch Finkel, says brilliantly, it's not a contradiction at all. And I want to share with you his words. That there was a specific reason for wanting to have as an inheritance the place where Moshe Rabbeinu was buried. Because it would be in the schus of Moshe that it would be a protector for the inhabitants of that area. The gam sheyuchu lehispal al kfaro. They would be able to come and daven at his kever, as we do today. Who doesn't want to be buried next to a tzaddik, especially Moshe Rabbeinu? Now, there are those that come and daven, and they request parnasa, v'inyani mamonos. And there are others that request ruchnios, batorah, that they want to reach great spiritual heights in fear of Hashem. However, they didn't daven for the spirituality of living in the same area of Moshe. They were megala. They explained their reason. The reason why they wanted to be buried in the same area as Moshe Rabbeinu was because they had a lot of cattle. They had a lot of sheep. Mikne rav atzum ma'od. And they wanted to ensure that their bottom line would continue to produce, that they would continue to accrue more wealth and property. And they said, we want Moshe Rabbeinu here because we have a lot of cattle and we want more. And the way that we will ensure that we continue to have more is that we're going to have Moshe Rabbeinu in our nachla, in our area. We're going to go every single Rosh Chodesh, Yom Kippur, Katan. We're going to go to his kever. We're going to daven for Parnassa. They were megala. They revealed their true colors in our parsha. Moshe Rabbeinu, we have so much property. And in Mezos HaBracha, Moshe Rabbeinu said, yeah, they want to ensure that they continue to have that property. They chose that area because they knew that I was going to be buried there. They were megala, they revealed their true colors. Says Rabbi Eli Baruch Finkel, based upon the Medrash, Shebnei Reuven ubnei Gad, asu es ha'ikar tafal ves ha'tafal ikar, that the children of God and the children of Reuven, they made that which was important secondary, and that which is secondary important. What really was important was to be able to live in the area where Moshe Rabbeinu was buried so that they can daven for their spirituality, for their Yiras Shemayim. But they didn't do that. They made the Iker, they made that secondary. And they made that which should have been Tafel secondary, they made that primary. Because they have Mikne Rav, they have much flock and cattle, and they need a place to ensure that they continue to expand their portfolio. And that is going to help us understand why specifically it was the Rashi Hamatos. The reason why it was the Rashi Hamatos is because they were so much like Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven. The Rashi Hamatos were the ones that were concerned and considerate for their bottom line. They wanted to be voted in to office. The question was, why is it Lo Yachel Devaro was only directed to the tribal leaders, that they shouldn't devalue their word? And listen to the words of the Oznayim LaTorah. V'nir lefi sheheim maftichim lefnei habechiros, because they make promises before the election. Harei zahav, that you're going to have much gold. You vote for me, you're going to be rich and wealthy, and there's going to be great prosperity. However, after the election, Misrashlim, they don't keep their word. They don't take serious that which they had promised. And therefore, says Reb Zalman Sirotskin, V'nimso sheheim yoshvim al kisei hanesios, they're sitting upon the throne, they're the president, they're the king, they're the prime minister. But it was based on lies, on deceit. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu comes and he commands the Nesiim specifically, Lo yachel divaro, do not defile your word, kichol hayotze mepiv, that anything that left your mouth before the elections, yaseh, you shall do. Make sure that you do it. Moshe Rabbeinu was only concerned with being Mekadesh Shem Shomayim. He was never interested in his own prosperity. B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven were only concerned with their prosperity. They were willing to forgo the schus, the opportunity to go into Eretz Yisrael, because they would rather have a portion for their cattle. And they wanted to be where Moshe Rabbeinu would be buried, not because they were such spiritual people, but because that would help their mikne rav, their bottom line. And that's the Rashi Hamatos. Those are the elected officials. Those are the tribal leaders. The tribal leaders are only concerned, considerate of their bottom line. What can they do to promote themselves? And therefore, even though it's something that's so basic, so elementary, it's something that we teach our children from a very young age. And of course, it's directed to all of Klal Yisrael. But when Moshe Rabbeinu is talking, Moshe Rabbeinu has the authority to come to the Rashi Hamatos, the tribal leaders, and say, listen, the Chasima of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Emes. If you're a tribal leader, your word is gold. Don't utter words just to promote your own cause, your own honor. Don't promise the people what they want to hear. And then once you're elected, after you've promised them everything and you're not giving them what you told them, Lo yachel divaro, kichol asher, anything that you yotzei mipiv yaseh, you shall do. We have three questions. Question number one, why the contradiction? What was the reason as to why they had wanted to stay Eved LeYarden? Is it because they had a great portfolio, or is it because they wanted to be in the portion of Moshe Rabbeinu? And we explain that it's not a contradiction at all, that really their bottom line would have been impacted even greater if Moshe Rabbeinu was in their achuza, their inheritance. They weren't interested in Moshe Rabbeinu in as much as it didn't impact them. Question number two, well, what about the Rashi Hamatos? Why was it only given to them and not to all of Klal Yisrael? Because unlike Moshe Rabbeinu, the Rashi Hamatos were interested in themselves. And comes to the third and final question. Moshe Rabbeinu, the consummate leader of Klal Yisrael, was only interested in Bnei Yisrael. And therefore, he even turned the words of Hashem just so that the midos of Klal Yisrael shouldn't be impacted negatively. And even if it meant that he was about to die because the battle, the Melchama of Midian, was linked to his demise, to his death. But Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't considerate, wasn't concerned about any of that. Only concerned for the well-being of Am Yisrael at his own expense, unlike Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven, and unlike the Rashi Hamatos.